Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It feels like Carson Wentz just got to Indy, so why are we asking if the Colts are still his team? The Niners, they got options. But which quarterback will lead them deep into the playoffs, Jimmy G or Trey Lance? Trey, good of a question. And Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond, once foes, now friends, sat on the park bench like bookends. Good Thursday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, a lot of beef between these two. You think you can ever see them coexist?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll coexist. Joel Embiid will play a lot. Andre Drummond will root him on a lot and play very little. That's how they'll coexist. Andre Drummond will have a similar seat as me.
He's going, go, Joel. Just the Lakers.
You got this.
Don't talk about him like that.
Yeah, he was terrible. He was never good.
Speaking
never
of.
Never been good.
Goodness.
Speaking of, we kick off this Thursday morning with LeBron James and yet another new-look Lakers team. The main critique after they retooled the roster, age. LeBron James calls it veteran leadership. Whatever you call it, the Lakers could have eight guys on the opening night roster aged 32 or older, prompting this since-deleted tweet from LeBron last night. Keep talking about my squad. Our personnel ages, the way he plays, he stays injured, past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please, and I mean please, keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you. All right, Nick Wright, start with you, buddy. What do you make of this from LeBron?
Oh, that's right. You're talking about that's right.
What I make, yes.
Hear you over there.
I am talking about that's right. Yeah, you're supposed to hear me, mic'd up, talking to you guys and to America, because LeBron's talking to you guys and to America, because LeBron knows, he's acutely aware of how his career has been covered. And for people that don't remember it or know, here's what happens. Folks, explain why a LeBron James team is flawed, can't get it done, won't win the title. And then when they do end up winning the title, they then say, well, of course they did. That was an unbeatable super team. I mean, he stacked the deck. What did you expect? This has happened time and time again, which is why LeBron says, keep the same narrative in energy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll do it quickly. 2012, they had just lost to the Mavs. They were down 3-2 to the Celtics. You got to break up the big three. This was never going to work. And then he does the 45-15-5. They beat KD, Russ, and Harden in the finals. And now historically, you look back on it, well, as a super team, of course they won the title. Should have won more titles. 2016, the Warriors are the greatest regular season team ever. Steph Curry is the unanimous MVP. And the question is, well, LeBron went back to Cleveland. But unfortunately, he's never going to win a championship there. And then they come back from 3-1 down, and the narrative is this. Well, that Warriors team actually wasn't that good. They needed Kevin Durant. They had to have him. Like, they come on, they shouldn't even won in 2015. And then go forward, 2018, Kyrie leaves. That Cavs team makes multiple midseason trades. And the narrative was, not only I think they could lose in round one to Indiana, but the Celtics with home court in the Eastern Conference Finals, clear favorites. And then, of course, LeBron comes back from 3-2 down with back-to-back brilliant games playing 95 of 96 minutes. And the narrative was, oh, the Celtics too young. Come on, those baby Celtics. Tatum, they never could really win. And then up to and including his championship with the Lakers. Oh, my God. They gave up too much for AD. What's AD ever won? How are they going to defend? LeBron's there to make movies. He's there to make his wife and kids happy. He's not worried about championships. And then they win it. And, well, of course they won it. That's a super team. I mean, it's kind of unfair the way he stacked that deck. So now it's happening again. It's happening again. People are going to get it both ways, Brandon. They're going to get to have their fun before the year starts, saying how bad the team will be, no shooting, old geriatric. And then if and when they win, they'll be like, well,
answer some of those
five
questions.
Hall of Famers. LeBron, AD, Russ, Melo, Dwight, of course, most stacked team ever. So he's just asking you to pick a lane. Pick the lane. Is this a great team that is supposed to win? Or is this a flawed, old, bad shooting team that if they do win, will deserve massive credit for being the underdog story that they are? That's the question.
Bravo, Nick. Bravo.
That's not
we don't need the history lesson. Here's the deal, America. It all comes down to what have you done for me lately? Last year, everybody was talking about the Lakers running it back. Everybody. It doesn't matter. In a national football league, in the NBA, and soccer, and tennis, nobody cares about what you did, you know, 2 years ago or last, or even a month ago for that matter. Look, LeBron, I love you. I'm never going to talk bad about you. You're a kid from Akron, Ohio. The Space Jam 2. Some people are like, you know, bad movie. He was okay as an actor. I'm not going to do that. Space Jam New Legacy. There you go. You're a kid from Akron, Ohio on a big screen. You're not supposed to be there. We should be celebrating you. But at the end of the day, you have to validate people's feelings. And this is reminiscent of the 2003-2004 Lakers. This is what this is. Nick yesterday. Oh, but they made it to the finals. Nobody talks about them. Yeah. They made it to the finals and lost. That's what's going to happen this year. Look. Let's say the big three, they jail, all right? Biggest question mark is really Westbrook and LeBron. Who's going to bring the ball up court? Who's going to be the point guard? Who's going to get them into their sets, okay? Let's say LeBron is the one, you know, that makes those concessions. Okay. Let's say Westbrook. Okay. All right. And then you got none. You got Wellington. You got Tucker. You got all these guys coming in. They can shoot the ball. Carmelo Anthony. They're hot. They're one of the best teams from the perimeter shooting the ball. But guess what? The biggest question mark that you guys have, and you're gonna love this, and you're gonna appreciate this, Nick, because we talked about it all last year during the NBA season. Defense.
Yeah.
Defense is the problem.
You got Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Defense, what makes the Lakers great? No. Oh, Anthony Davis and LeBron. 2019, what made them great was they played spectacular on both ends of the court. Okay? Last year, they're one of the top defenses. Now you have liabilities. Yeah. None. Liability. All the guys that you brought in, that you brought in from free agency, all the guys, Bazemore is the only one that can play. But you got your rotation. You got to solidify the rotation. So the problem right now is solidifying the defense. Yes, you got AD and LeBron, but outside of that, who's going to step up and get some stops? Who? Let me know.
Well, I think AD and LeBron, Wilds, that's enough to be a really good defense. You have the best defensive big man in basketball, and LeBron, who was first team All-NBA caliber defense last year. Personally, Wilds, I think that's enough. But Wilds, you know LeBron was talking to you, right? You should be able to respond. Like, yes. Okay. He's asking LeBron? You to keep the same narrative and energy.
I will not.
Yeah.
I will not keep the same energy for a few reasons. One, motivational speakers get paid a lot of money, and LeBron is looking for motivation. And I will keep the same energy, but I will invoice him for this. Because Tom Brady had Julian Edelman yelling at him on the sidelines, "You're too old," to motivate Tom Brady. But I am not going to be. No, you know what? I'm going to change that. I will be Hall of Famer Julian Edelman for LeBron to try to motivate him. Because here's the thing. LeBron wants to be motivated for everything. It's not just about old. So I went through sort of like point by point to sort of see what LeBron was saying. Is he right? Is he wrong? So the first one he says is keep talking about us. So I'm like, all right, let's see the chatter around the Lakers roster. And I pulled up a Google's trend. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Once free agency opened, boom. the Google searches for Lakers roster was right. So, okay. They said, keep talking about our ages. All right. Well, the average age of the team is 31.8, would be the oldest team of all time. All right, talk about the way he plays. All right, well, that's a shot at Russ. Yeah. Well, we know that Russ is the worst high-volume shooter of all time, and he's the sixth worst shooter last year. Actually, seventh. I'm sorry. I want to be accurate. Then stays injured. Who's that talking about? Oh, that's AD. Here's the list of AD injuries. The groin, the knee, the shoulder, the calf, the Achilles, the quad, the back. That was all since January 2021. That wasn't a career injury list. That was since January. And then he says, oh, they're past our prime. So I looked that up. And I'm like, okay, is that fair? Melo was a scoring champ in 2012. Gasol was an all-star in 2017. Dwight was defensive player in 2011. Ariza won a championship in 2009. And poor LeBron has had his last 2 years, two of the last 3 years, have been marred by injury.
All that what happened said, in the middle?
I'm okay
of
with
those 3 years.
They won a championship. It was good. I'm okay with that. You know why he won the championship?
The pandemic struck.
You know why he won the championship? No, no, it's not the pandemic. No, because I think that was better. I think I give him extra credit for winning in the bubble. I don't take that away from him. Because he brought out the washed king. Because he was like, you know what? Washed king. Everyone's calling me a washed king. That's when it started. Wash King started in November 2019. He ended up winning a championship. And no one dug into it. Like, Wash King, who's calling you the Washed King? Turns out, Nick, who was calling him the Washed King? Nobody. Nobody. He just made it up. It's a great marketing ploy, and it motivated himself to a championship. So LeBron is looking for motivation. He's not talking about the haters. He's not talking about your old buddy, Kevin Wilde. He's talking to the man in the mirror, and I think it's a savvy, savvy strategy that he's looking for motivation. But I'm not a hater if I point out the facts that, you know, the Lakers roster is a little flawed.
Okay, well, no, so, but you are. That, and it's fine. Just lean into it, Wilds. It's an unbelievable thing to be like two of the last 3 years got hurt and just gloss over, unless I drill down on it, what happened in the middle, which was a whole 10 months ago, which was they won the championship. They never were threatened after folks, I'm not going to name names, but folks on this show were like, Blazers, oh, gauntlet, the death, what are they going to do? It all happened.
Yep.
And what did LeBron say when he was holding for the fourth time in his career trophies in both hands, the two that matters, the Larry O'Brien and the Finals MVP? I want my damn respect. And he got it for about 6 weeks. And then it was like, oh,
that's
you know
all
what?
You get.
He should have avoided this.
Listen, well, that's
Brandon,
all you get,
how can
Nick?
You say it's
LeBron
about...
LeBron knows that.
Okay, Brandon.
That's all. You,
then
LeBron
I got a question
knows that.
For you.
That's why he's going to go down as one. Go ahead.
No, but if it's all about what you've done lately, and there's nothing about reputation, it's nothing about earned credit, then why is there all this buzz about your Nets? What have they done ever?
Right.
What, be the two seed and lose
fan.
In round two? What?
I'm a fan.
No,
I'm
not from
I'm
you.
Not
I'm
asking
not talking
for
about from
respect
you.
For
I'm
the
talking
Nets.
About from the world.
I'm just telling you. I'm not speaking for the world. I'm speaking for Brandon Marshall, right? And this is what I'm saying. The Nets, I'm a fan. And the only thing that matters is what's going to happen next year for my team. And my team right now are the favorites to win. That's the only thing that matters for me. But if we're going to talk basketball and strategy and roster moves, then we have to highlight these moves that the Lakers are making. And we go back to respect. Yes, everybody knows, right? And even us on this show, every day you got to wake up and you have to earn it. So, yes, LeBron James is one of the best basketball players ever. And, yes, LeBron James will go down as an average actor. Yes, he's going to be great there. And he'll make more movies. But at the end of the day, Mr. King, it goes through Brooklyn, Mr. King. You have to see KD, Mr. King. James Harden the beard.
Like
Kyrie Irving coming off of his sabbaticals. So, yes, I can't wait for basketball season. We need to skip the football season and go right to December. I can't wait. Let's go.
Well.
75 days, Brandon. 75 days until opening night in the NBA. And I like the double respect, the Mr. and the King together. It's like two for the price of one. We got to talk some football, though. Should Bengals fans be worried about a slow start to camp for Joe Burrow? Not just a slow, but an ugly slow start. Head to Cincinnati next. First things first. talking some Joe Burrow now. The Bengals quarterback not exactly sailing through camp this year, reportedly struggling in a pretty bad way coming off the ACL surgery. A report from The Athletic said in part, throws that felt like layups last year are dropping harmlessly away right. from receivers or easily broken up by multiple defenders. There might be a multitude of reasons for the struggles, but this has been ugly. At one point, pressure pushed into his face and Burrow lifted his leg into the air almost to avoid any accident with the closed pocket. Makes you wonder if the knee is still in his head, but that's strictly guesswork. Bottom line, there's no way to say his play looks comfortable at this point, and this isn't at all what you have seen from Burrow, even in the early camp moments of last season. All right, Brandon, break this down for us. Joe Burrow's reported struggles should have Bengals fans feeling blank.
Jenna said it should have them feeling sad. 2019, Joe Burrow takes the scene, and he goes out there in college football and lights it up. And he finds himself in a national championship. And he did what he did all season. He lit that up. And now he's in the locker room. He has a stogie in his hand. He's puffing on his stogie, celebrating. Confident, strong. Everybody knew this was the guy. This was going to be the first overall pick, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Fast forward, he gets on the scene. He lights it up in OTAs. He lights it up in camp. He lights it up in preseason. And then over the first 10 weeks of the regular season, he's lighting it up. Historic season. He's on pace to have a historic season as a rookie at the quarterback position. And then he gets hit. ACL, gone. MCL, damaged. PCL, damaged. And now, 9 months later, Joe Burrow's on the practice field. This guy that we saw with the confidence, the guy that we saw in that locker room in 2019, that guy's not there anymore. So they should be feeling sad, because when you think about Joe Burrow, you think about confidence. You think about a guy that gets it done effortlessly. This dude is not there right now. Sometimes it may take a guy like Adrian Peterson 7 months to recover from an ACL. Sometimes it takes guys a little longer, like Frank Gore, and take a year or 2 years to get back. This is the dude that you've been waiting for. You had Carson Palmer there years ago, and since then, you had Andy Dalton, you know, you had these other guys. But this is the dude. This is the dude that can get it done. And now he's in camp, and he's playing this way. This is sad, Nick, because Joe Burrow is a guy that can lead you to victory at least 7 to 8 games by himself. If you go back and watch last season, he was getting it done. So they should be sad. I'm sad because this dude is next level, and this injury is derailing the start of his career.
It's brutal, and you just wonder if that was, unfortunately, you know, the fork in the road moment of his career. You hope that's not the case. I know Joe a little bit. I like Joe a ton as a person. And this is, if you remember seeing the injury down on his own goal line against Washington, it was third and short. They have him drop back to throw a bomb inexplicably, and he just gets his knee annihilated. And so, you know how Bengals fans should be feeling? I'm sorry, but they should be feeling awful Bengalsy. Like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, we've been down this road before. We saw it with Kajana Carter on his third touch in the preseason. There are certain franchises that are unfortunately just snake bitten. So I feel like the Bengals and the, you know, maybe their fans can get on a Zoom call with some Clippers fans and do like some group therapy. At least the Bengals fans have the justification of they're the only football team in town. We got to be Bengals fans. But it's just, I feel terrible for Joe and for Bengals fans. Unfortunately, Wilds, they've been down this road before. You can't write them off. Can't write his career off, obviously. But it was the worst case scenario for a number one overall pick, and that's where they find themselves.
Okay, so this is a sad scenario with a simple solution. Just be patient. When the injury happened, we're thinking 9 to 12 months. So he's already on an aggressive timetable. He's got this big knee brace on. So just have him rest. Target week 4. You're going up against Jacksonville. You got Trevor Lawrence. It'll be a sort of a nice number one pick battle. But if he's not ready then, just rest. There's zero reason to push him or to accelerate the timetable. No one really has Super Bowl expectations for the Bengals. You're growing. You're sort of following the same path as the Browns, but without all the coaching changes. Get a little better every year.
Bring them
back after week
8.
Have your number one pick compete to get into the play deep into the playoffs and then try to win the Super Bowl. You don't have to rush. This is the timetable.
Right.
So if he's not ready week 1, don't even think about putting him out week 1, Jenna.
Bring him back after week 8. Okay. Week 8 you have the Jets. So I would wait until after week 8. Wow.
Oh, that would be good.
So you said the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. Brandon knows
be super patient.
Where Jets end up on everybody's schedule. I love it. Yeah. I love
that
it.
That defensive line is playing right, well in Florham Park right now. They're getting
playing
good.
Well. Let's training
camp started
with some quarterback
yesterday.
just roll with me, Nick.
Brandon's getting
man.
Full reports. He's getting minute by minute reports of what's happening there in Florham Park.
Right.
Hey, which of Jimmy G or Trey, which one will lead them to the playoffs? We'll talk about that next. First things first. Talk some 49ers now, back to football. Jimmy G, Trey Lance, front and center, for good reason. Look, Niners moved all the way up to 3 to get Lance, despite Jimmy G playing in a Super Bowl just 2 years ago. According to GM John Lynch, Lance's presence at camp has brought out the best in Garoppolo. Take a listen.
The other good thing is that, you know, him being here, I think, has brought the best out of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's a big-time competitor, and you know, we haven't played a game yet, but in practice in the offseason and in practice in training camp thus far, he's playing his best football since he's been here. And he's played a lot of good football. You just look at his record. And so people say, well, what do you do if they're both playing great? That's another great problem to have. And we'll deal with that when it comes.
Jimmy's best football since he's been there?
Yeah, he really is playing at a high level. And, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much as I'm doing so in front of millions of people, but it's something everyone's recognizing. He's really playing at a high level. And that's the type of competitor. That's what competitors do when they're challenged. They rise to the occasion. And I think he's doing a great job of that.
Yeah, a little hyperbole, but not to be outdone. Niners offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel, big fan of the work Trey Lance is doing, said, quote, he's getting to the point where he can correct other players. All right, Brandon, who gives the Niners the best chance for a deep playoff run this season, Jimmy G or Trey Lance?
All right, so Trey Lance, loved the kid. He was down here at the start of combine season to get ready for the NFL draft, and I fell in love with the kid. The kid has it all. He's big. He looks like a dang on tight end. He has all the talent in the world when you think about his arm. And up here, in between the ears, people love him, and they say, you know what? Soon as he steps foot in the building, he gets it right away. Trey Lance, they moved up, like you said, to the 3 to get him. But then you have Jimmy G. Jimmy G, on the other hand, this is a dude, small sample size in New England. It was only like, what, 3 games, Nick? 3-4 games where he went out there and he lit it up and he kept the thing together until Tom Brady came back. I think that was the year Tom Brady was suspended. He ended up getting hurt.
One of his
right?
many cheating scandals.
But everybody said, oh, my
yep.
goodness. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and then you saw
right.
everybody
that's
was like, oh, Jimmy G is next level. And then he gets traded.
Oh.
And what happens when he gets traded? He sat for a little bit, and then he went out there and lit it up. I think it was 6 games in a row. What, they go 6-0? And everyone's like, oh, this is our guy. Get to that offseason, they extend him. He gets big money. And then it was just up and down for a couple of years. Jimmy G is the right answer, and here's why. Because after all of that being said about Trey Lance, even what I said about Jimmy G, you know, the small sample size, lighting it up here, and then struggling the last couple of years, Jimmy G, there's two things that's been holding him back. One is injuries. If he can stay healthy, oh boy. And two, can't be a slow blinker. And we talked about this while.
Okay, enough.
You know, there's a few things There's a few things I just don't like. I don't like, you got to protect the ball. Ball security is job security. Yours and mine.
Yours and mine.
You can't be a slow blinker. And nobody's talking about this with Jimmy G. Look at all these highlights. And what are you seeing? The ball getting out his hands quickly. And that's a quarterback who knows where he's going with slow the motion. Ball. You got to be able to get back there. And that when that back foot hit, you got to be able to know where you're going with that ball. That's not a slow blinker. If he can correct that, I can assure you this team is going to be in great position come December, come January. This dude is the answer. They got some young wide receivers that can get it done. Defensively, what I'm hearing is that they're looking good. So, yes, Trey Lance is looking good right now. I talked to a friend in that organization. They said, look, Jimmy G is balling, but Trey Lance is balling too. And they believe that their best option right now is Jimmy G. So I'm telling you right now, if he stays healthy and he continues to process the way he is and getting the ball out quick and not be a slow blinker, they're going to be right where they need to be come December.
Okay, so I feel like what's happening in San Francisco, Nick, is exactly what happened in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. And Jimmy G is Alex Smith. You've got a guy that people are, at this point, he's viewed as underrated. And even though Jimmy G is 22-8 with the 49ers, he's still underrated. And Alex Smith played that whole year, and you started to hear bubbling up, oh, this Patrick Mahomes guy is pretty good. You should see this Patrick Mahomes guy in practice. Holy cow, this Patrick Mahomes is going to be really excellent. But Alex Smith sort of like held the reins the entire time. Patrick Mahomes got in at the end. That's exactly how the 49ers should go. My only issue with the conversation around this is, or even our question, who gives the 49ers the best chance for a deep playoff run? Jimmy G literally went to the Super Bowl. He went to the Super Bowl, and he was 6 minutes away from being a Super Bowl champion. So it bothers me when people rewrite history that Jimmy G can't bring a team to the Super Bowl when he was literally in the Super Bowl. And Jimmy G is too nice of a guy to be like, guys, I was literally in the Super Bowl. Not like, can I do it? Can Lamar Jackson do it? Like, I was literally in the Super Bowl. And I know people are like, well, what about the pass? Well, he missed a pass. Jameis Winston threw 30 balls to the other team. People are like, gotta give Jameis Winston a shot. Carson Wentz had to be traded. Like, ooh, I'm high on Carson Wentz. Jimmy G misses one pass, wins game, and hands the ball off because that's the game plan that he's told to do.
Why do I feel like Wiles is attacking me right now? He talked about Carson.
I like Jimmy G.
He's not attacking you.
Some people. You guys pick up for each other.
He's not attacking anyone individually. He's just giving a terrible take. There's no attacks. It's just a bad take. Wilds, you know, I'm also sick of history being rewritten, most notably by you, about how Jimmy Garoppolo got to that Super Bowl. Their first playoff game, he threw for 130 yards. The defense, which was magnificent, held the opponent to 10 points. That's why they won. Their second playoff game, he threw 8 passes. Not completions, not first downs, passes. He threw for 77 yards. So I'm not giving him a ton of credit for those wins. Then, in the Super Bowl, his defense put him in great position to win it. And it wasn't just the one pass he missed to Emmanuel Sanders when they were trailing. It was the multiple batted down passes that he couldn't complete when they were winning, when they only needed 3 first downs to win the Super Bowl. That's what happened. You want to talk about, oh, he went to a Super Bowl. So did Jared Goff. You want him as your quarterback? Because the Rams didn't. They sent him to Detroit. Maybe you'd want Jared Goff as your quarterback. I don't know, but I wouldn't. And this idea of like, oh, it's what the Chiefs did. Guess what? It was a massive mistake by the Chiefs to let Alex Smith finish off that season. They started the year off well. They then went into a slump, but they've been to the playoffs a bunch of years in a row with Alex. They're like, no, don't go to the rookie. And what happened in that playoff game? They blew a 17-point lead at home to Marcus Mariota, who can't start in this league anymore. You know why? Because Alex Smith had a very clear ceiling. Jimmy Garoppolo has a very clear ceiling. The answer to this question is Trey Lance. And what I think is pretty clearly happening, Brandon, is the Niners
are trying to goose Jimmy G's trade value. They see what's going on around the league. They see what's happening in Indy. And I don't think Indy's going to trade for him because they've already invested too much in Carson Wentz. They know there will be the inevitable quarterback injury. They know there will be the team that gets a little anxious, like, oh, boy, like we got off to a slower start than we thought we would. A team maybe like Washington that thinks they can rely on their defense. Sorry, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or something like that. Don't forget the Washington point because I don't want to make this about Fitzpatrick. It's not what I meant. Point is, a team like Denver that had pipe dreams of Aaron Rodgers and might say, my God, like, we're really going to run this Drew Lock experiment again. And
that's
so I think, Brandon, this is all about the Niners have done a good job of making sure every day almost someone talks about how good Trey is. Someone talks about how good Jimmy is, which gets the two messages out.
No.
One is, we love Trey. We'd be comfortable with him. The other is, right, Jimmy's awesome. You better pay us a lot for him. Ooh. To me, that's what's going on.
It's a good take.
But I think John Lynch, I played with John Lynch when I was a rookie in Denver. He was one of our savvy veterans. They're still getting it done. And I know John and his family well. John is an honest guy. He's transparent. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. When you hear him say, listen, we have two guys playing well right now. This is a good problem to have. I believe John. John is not one of those GMs out there or guys that's going to go out there publicly and try to build up a player just for trade value. Say something publicly, but behind closed door, tell a player another thing or don't speak to a player. That's not John Lynch. I believe him. I want to go back to you and Wild's fight quickly, though, because we're talking about stats. We're talking about the quarterback. So here's the deal. Wild, this is why Nick is right. Okay. It's not about his stats. It's about why his stats were low. Now, I believe Tom Brady, for them to repeat, Tom Brady needs to rely on his defense and he needs to rely on the offense, the running game, which means he shouldn't be throwing 300 yards a game. It shouldn't look like that. He needs to rely on the strength of that team. So does that make Tom Brady less than? No, it doesn't. But when you look at Jimmy G, and then also, Nick, I throw Baker Mayfield in here, and this is why you and I always bump heads, is because that run that Jimmy G had, that Super Bowl run, they were protecting him, Wilds. They were saying, if we let him throw it, he's going to mess it up. We have a great defense, and we're running the ball efficiently. Let's not mess this up. Yes. And it's the same thing with Baker, though, Nick. And I know this is not about Baker, but it's not like, oh, let's just run the ball and let's just go with our offensive line. That's not it. What they're saying is if we give him the ball, there's a good chance he mess it up. Now, will he grow out of that? He probably will. He showed that last year. But the thing with Jimmy G, and I'm telling you guys this, is injuries, and it was between his heads. Here's what I asked somebody in that organization. Hold on one second. What I said. I said, you guys know y'all have a problem on y'all hands, right? I said, Jimmy G is going to go out there and ball. He looks like he's playing sensational or practicing well right now. I said, at the end of this year, what are you guys going to do, okay? And they said, look, he's balling, Trey is balling, and that's a great problem for us to have. And look, we believed going into this thing that if he can overcome those two things, that he will give us the best opportunity to win. Because there's something, I keep talking about these moments in games, situational football, where it's just from experience or reps that where a rookie just can't overcome those situations because they just haven't seen it. It doesn't mean that they're less than, doesn't mean that they're not good or better than. It's just moments in games that separates the good teams and the great teams.
Russ and RG3, and it was the same year, the last time we saw rookie quarterbacks lead winning teams. Like winning teams to the playoffs. Russ won a playoff game. RG3 damn near won a playoff game, got his knee torn up. Like you don't typically see that. I understand that. And I understand your point that you trust John Lynch. And John Lynch is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame shortly, and I'm happy for him, and he's done a good job in San Francisco. I also trust John Lynch. but his actions more than his words. His actions have been, Tom Brady, will you please come play for us? Aaron Rodgers, you're available? All right, neither of those things are happening. I'll trade three first-round picks because I don't trust my quarterback. His actions have been, we got to move off Jimmy G because the only people that love him are Kevin Wilds, other Patriot fans, and his friends and family. Like, they knew they had to move on.
But think about that, Nick. Don't you respect that? We've been talking about it for 2 years. We've been talking about Jimmy G's play. And they went out there. And he stood on the table and he was honest. He said, this is where we're at with Jimmy G. They were honest with Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So now we're standing at the start of camp. And he's saying they're both playing well. So let's see what happens, you know, at the end of camp and the training camp and as they go into the regular season.
Sure.
All right. Speaking of injury-prone quarterbacks, let's talk some Carson Wentz. Are the Colts still his team? We'll share his head coach Frank Reich's thoughts with you next. But first, Dan Campbell, big coffee guy, huge coffee guy, maybe even bigger than Jimmy Butler big. Listen to this.
Well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So,
back here first things first. Road trip. Let's head to Indy. Job opening for the Colts. If you know anyone who can play quarterback at an NFL level, must have good references. Carson Wentz is out for a while now after foot surgery. So what do you do if you're the Colts? Here's a name that keeps popping up this week. Nick Foles. Just a rumor. Just a thought. But not quite as preposterous as it sounds. There's so much history in Philly, remember, between Wentz and Foles and Colts head coach Frank Reich. Yesterday, Reich was asked about the possibility of a reunion with Foles. Here's what he had to say.
This is Carson's team, first of all. I mean, you know, he's our quarterback, and we're so excited about having him, and he knows that. This team knows that. You know, when we brought him here, we brought him here for one reason. It wasn't to, he's going to compete, but it wasn't for he's going to come in here and lead this football team. I don't mind talking about Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles. I mean, he plays for the Chicago Bears and haven't talked to him, but I think he's a great player. I think he's proven that. I think he's a great teammate. There's nothing about Nick Foles I don't like. I think he's a winner. He's certainly a guy that fits our kind of culture, but he plays for the Chicago Bears. We're glad we got the guys we got, and we're focusing on getting our team better, and I'm excited about that and the players that we have.
Love him, love him, love him, but he plays for the other team. But I love him, love him, love him, but he plays for the other team. It was like fighting back and forth within his head. Brandon, what do you make of Reich's comments?
Listen, I mean, it's borderline tampering. I mean, but he's responding to Nick Foles. Like, what do you want the guy to do? I actually like it. I think we need more of this in the NFL. Here's the deal, though. You know, they're in a situation where it could go either all the way left or all the way right. Okay, you got Carson Wentz, a guy that I am high on. I'm high on him because I believe in the psyche of the athlete. I believe that an athlete, like, diving into what they need to tweak in the offseason or over time can get it done. A lot of people look at the body of work, you know, a kid that's in their first couple years or someone who has a down year or bad game and they're saying, well, that's who this guy is. I don't believe that. But now he finds himself in another predicament. He's hurt and he'll be on the shelf. He'll be in the training room for some weeks now. Now insert who? Are we inserting Jacob Eason, a guy that, you know, they deemed as a project but has all the arm talent, spent all offseason with Tom House, guy, legendary quarterback guru, to work on those mechanics, work on the checks at the line of scrimmage, making sure he can read coverage. Now, obviously, Tom House does all the mechanics, which he needed to work on. This is a dude that started at Georgia. This is a dude that then went to Washington. They drafted him in the fourth round. All he needed was the stuff in between his ears, okay? Now he's with Frank Reich. All right, another offseason with those guys. He has a training camp. Now he's getting the reps. This thing could get ugly and go left for Carson Wentz. This guy can go out there and potentially Wally Pip him. Give you guys a little quick history lesson. I know you guys understand, as I heard you guys talk about it before, but almost 100 years ago, Wally Pip, he took a day off, got injured, lost his job forever, okay? So Carson Wentz is now in this situation. Jacob Eason, he's a project. We'll see what happens. Now, Nick, I don't know if they're going to bring in, and nobody knows if they're going to bring in another guy, whether it's Nick Foles or, hell, if it's Phillip Rivers. But this team is still in a position where they can go out there and win games because of their defense and the run game, and I've been talking about that all week. Yeah. So, you know, I like what Frank Reich is doing. He understands what he's supposed to say. He knows that his quarterback is a little fragile in between the ears when it comes to football, okay? Just talking about football. So he got to go out there and say these things, but at the end of the day, it's about what have you done for me lately? And if they go out, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you said he's fragile between the ears when it comes to football. That's what I find so interesting about Carson. I can't think of athletes that are allowed to be fragile physically and fragile mentally. Like, usually those guys don't make it, if we're being totally candid. And again, I'm not talking about his overall mental state. We're just talking about football. He obviously was unsettled last year by the fact that they drafted Jalen Hurts. That was, that was reported and then all but confirmed throughout the season and then in the exit. And Wilds, like, I find this really interesting because I'm going to use a basketball comp, right? So, Kyrie Irving's body is broken down at different times throughout the career. I think it's fair to say he's a bit of a fragile player because of his size and just his body type. Kyrie Irving's also a handful. Like, I don't think he's fragile mentally, but he's a lot to deal with. Like, we've heard that throughout, for good and for bad, he's a lot to deal with. But he's magnificent on the court. There are certain things he does better than arguably any player ever. You could say he has the best handle, the best below the rim finishing of any player ever. So you deal with it. I don't know why folks want to deal with it with Carson. It's like, we don't know if he's going to be available to us due to injury. And we also have to walk on eggshells when the whole league is built on competing every day for your spot. Nothing is guaranteed.
That's right.
So it's not like, but when he's out there, he's amazing. No, he was amazing for 3 months, 4 years ago. So I just don't get it. I don't understand the fascination. And if I'm the Colts, I am saying we have, to Brandon's point, a great defense. I know Quentin Nelson's now hurt, but a potentially great offensive line, right, a good running game. We want to win right now. And if that ends up upsetting Carson Wentz because of the moves we have to make, that's not my problem. You said, go ahead. You said they don't?
But I see, that was my takeaway. My takeaway is that they don't want to win right now. Because if you want to win a championship, wow, right now in all of the professional sports leagues, Brandon, we have seen how to do it. You go all in,
right,
and you don't worry about your future. The Bucs went all in. They signed Tom Brady. They got AB. They got Gronk. They're like, we're going to win right now. The Bucs of the NBA. Hey, let's redo our roster. Let's trade away some draft picks. Let's sign guys before we even sign Giannis to prove that we're winning right now.
Yep.
The Red Sox are like, oh, that's right, Mookie Betts is going to get us all. It's too much money. We're a small market. No, you're not. You should have signed Mookie Betts. The Dodgers like, yeah, we'll take Mookie Betts. Right. And guess what? We bet we can sign him. They signed him to a huge contract. They won right now. What is LeBron James doing? Redoing the entire Lakers roster. You know why? Because I'm 36. And guess what? He wants to win right now. So why are the Colts worried about the feelings or what's going to happen? This is Carson's team. Hey, buddy, that's not right now. The guys literally might be out for 12 weeks. And you know what? If it was in a Vegas board, I would take the over too. I'm just like not a big foot injury guy. I just always nervous. Oh, it's foot injury. I get very nervous. Why, if you could win right now, why not just go get Phillip Rivers? It doesn't make any sense to me. If you want to win right now, you got a great defense, you got a great run game, you got a great offensive line. Granted, you had somebody just get hurt. But if you want to win right now, go and get the best quarterback. Try to win week one and try to win week two and try to win week three. It's not brain surgery here. Try to win right now rather than thinking about 12 weeks down the road.
Wiles, I'm with you, right? And I have that same type of mentality. If I was in position, if I was a general manager, I would embrace the LA Rams philosophy. Remember the Rams? They were like, we're going to go out there right now and get it done. We're going to get, like, number one picks doesn't matter to us. Like, I'd rather take a number one pick and go trade that away and get a guy that's producing right now. I can bank on that. So that's what I would do. But here's the deal. Chris Ballard is one of the best general managers, leaders, and managers in all of sports. We don't talk about them enough because they just haven't been able to break through. They haven't been able to break through because the bad luck with Andrew, the timing, I would say, of Andrew Luck's retirement, coming in, taking that job. He thought he had his quarterback for another, 10 years? No, that wasn't Andrew Luck's plan. And then Phillip Rivers, I felt like Phillip Rivers should still be there. They couldn't get it done. And now you have Carson Wentz. They went out there and made a move for Carson Wentz, and then now he goes down. They are high on Carson Wentz. They believe Frank Wright is the guy that can get to him and lead him. They know his weaknesses. They knew his challenges in the locker room. They knew what he needed to work on in between the ears. So they were working on that. So when you think about now, you got to understand there's so many moving parts. You got Phillip Rivers out there. You still got Nick Foles. I'm trusting that Chris Ballard knows exactly what he's doing, and he'll make the right decision, whether that's sticking with Jacob Eason, a project guy who spent all offseason working with Tom House and trying to get the right position, or if it's making a move in the next week or so for Phillip Rivers or Nick Foles. Yep.
Brandon, you're absolutely right. Frank Reich, that Colts team knew exactly who they were getting. They were getting a quarterback who was injury prone, and he had an injury. They're getting a guy who was sensitive about Jalen Hurts and Nick Foles, and maybe that's why they're not so quick to rush Phillip Rivers back or bring in a Nick Foles. They're playing into the exact personality, football on and off the field, as the guy that they went out and got. So you know, what are you going to do? He's out 5 to 12 weeks now. You're going to have to make some sort of decision. I don't think Eason is the decision if you really do, as Wild says, want to win right now. All right, we got to take a turn. Stick with some football because the preseason starts when? Let me check my watch. Oh, how about tonight? Which Cowboys and Steelers will hit the ground running? We discuss next. First things first on a Thursday morning. God, I got all fired up. Back here, first things first, we got former Pro Bowler Greg Jennings with us. Good morning, Greg. We're talking tonight's Hall of Fame game on Fox. Take the music in. Let it course through your veins. It feels so good. Steelers and Cowboys kicking off the 2021-22 season tonight in Canton. The bar is always set high for these two historic franchises. We're not going to see Big Ben or Dak, though, tonight. We will, however, get a glimpse of a couple of dynamic running backs. Ezekiel Elliott for Dallas, the rookie Najee Harris for Pittsburgh. All right, a lot to get to here. Greg, what are you most excited to see tonight in the Hall of Fame game? For me, it's the music, but maybe it's something different for you.
It's that guy right there. It's not CeeDee Lamb, but Dwayne Haskins for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has a second chance, an opportunity to really impact not only that Steelers team, but his career needs to take off. And I think he has an opportunity. I get it. It's Ben's team. We all know that. But what we do know is that this young man has a high ceiling, and the potential is there. And given his supporting cast now, I believe that Mike Tomlin can really get into his ear and he actually absorb and listen and respond accordingly. The culture is set in Pittsburgh. I think there's a lot of things that Dwayne Haskins can look at and survey, and we can see the best Dwayne Haskins we've possibly seen in the National Football League. I'm talking, he's a first round pick in 2019. Like, the Washington Redskins or the Washington football team, they knew the potential in Dwayne Haskins. And so I'm excited to see it on display. I don't think Mason Rudolph is the guy for the future for the Steelers, but Dwayne Haskins can be that guy.
Right. And look, you're right when it comes to him. But, Greg, you know it's all about the mindset at that quarterback position. You got to be a CEO. You can't be the cool kid on the block. You got to go out there and be able to lead up as like you're, you know, leading up to management, head coaches. And you also got to be the guy that pushes and meet your guys where they're at in the locker room. So if he can learn from Big Ben, if he can learn from Coach T, he could be in good position come a year from now when Big Ben possibly go into retirement. So here's the deal. You have no Dak, no Amari, no Zach Martin, no Tyron Smith, no DeMarcus Lawrence, no Big Ben. So who are we left to watch outside of the quarterbacks? You got Najee Harris. Najee Harris is the guy that was drafted for the Pittsburgh Steelers running back. They need that. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been winning the same way for 50 years. The blueprint pretty much hasn't really changed. So for them to get back to winning Super Bowls, they got to get this running game going. We saw how it looks in the results when you try to have Big Ben later on in his career throw it, you know, 30, 40 times a game. It's not getting them anywhere. Now, have they been explosive on the offense? Yes, but they have a great defense, okay? They have one of the best front sevens out there. And now if you get that run game going and you have Big Ben doing what he needs to do, just making sure he's leading the way and also getting his guys in position, this could be a scary team. And the other person, Nick, that we need to look at is Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, right? Like, or Dan Quinn comes over from Atlanta. You know, he's now the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. The Cowboys offense, oh, my goodness. I know you picked them last year, Nick, and I wanted to get away from this conversation, but America's team, this could be the year. Oh, my goodness. You got everything you need on the offensive side. If this guy there can come in and get the job done, oh, this could be the year, America. This could be the year you see Jerry Jones sitting there hoisting that Lombardi trophy. But here's the problem. Oh. Here's what I want to see tonight. Are you going to tweak? Are you going to tweak your defense? Greg, since we were playing, that Seattle Seahawks defense has never changed. And everybody knows it, right? So when I was playing for the Jets and I was playing for the Chicago Bears, every time we played against Seattle, the scouting report, everything was the same. All right, third down. Put speed at three. What does speed at three mean? You take a wide receiver and you put him right by the tackle, and now you have a matchup between that receiver and KJ Wright. KJ Wright, a linebacker. That cheetah route where you run across the field deep and the quarterback just let it go. If we have been doing the same play over and over and over again for years, what makes you think that everybody in the NFL like don't have the book on this defense? So you went to Atlanta and you had 1 year that was really good, but then after that, everybody start destroying your defense. Why? Because everybody knows what you're doing. So for him to be successful, he has to tweak his defense. And if he tweaks his defense, this could be a very scary, I like that, very scary Cowboys team.
Well, and the Cowboys, they have some questions in a good way as far as depth at linebacker. Like, how are they going to get all of their high draft picks over the last few years on the field? They're talking about using Micah Parsons as a guy who's going to rush the passer more, which I actually like that idea. They have a different type of question as far as secondary. It's the opposite of having a surplus of high draft picks. They got a bunch of young guys, bunch of unproven guys. And we know, obviously, when Dan Quinn was with Seattle, yes, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner are excellent. They had a really good D-line with Bennett. Forgetting his name. My apologies. Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett. But there. Thank you. But the strength of it was they had four Pro Bowl caliber guys in the secondary, two safeties, two corners. The Cowboys have nothing similar to that. So how successful is the defense going to be while that secondary is learning on the fly? But Wilds, I agree with Greg that I am interested in the Steelers quarterback situation because it's not just Haskins. It's also, you know, Mason Rudolph was thinking, hey, I'm going to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. Then he got bonked on the head by Myles Garrett, and it feels, yeah. I mean, that's, if you remember, they didn't, he wasn't a seventh round pick. He was an early or a mid third round pick.
Second round
Big
pick.
Big Ben, if yeah. you third, remember when it happened. Round? Or is it, I thought it was third, it might have been second round, I might have it wrong, but he wasn't a late pick. When Big Ben, when he got drafted, Big Ben's like, I'm not here to, you know, teach him the playbook, because he saw he that the Steelers that. Were saying, we're, remember that, you know, we are prepared to start, try to move, start to move on. And let's be, listen, Haskins, the best thing Haskins has going for him is what he did in college and where he was drafted. He didn't exactly wash himself in glory in Washington on the field or off the field.
Nope.
So I think the Steelers' backup quarterback position, Wilds, is in flux to a degree. And when you have a quarterback such as Big Ben, who while always plays through injury, seems to almost always get dinged up, like, you're probably going to have to play your backup quarterback some this year. So that's yep. something I want to watch that's tonight fair. As well.
Yeah, and when you know it's a, just a preseason game, but I think the stakes for the Cowboys defense and Haskins are pretty high. I think those guys are going to be going full steam. So the other thing to watch about the Cowboys defense is this. This game is super low scoring historically. The winning team of the last five games, 14 points, 17 points, 20 points, and two scores of 14. So you don't have to score a lot of points. If Dwayne Haskins can go out there and score even, you know, two touchdowns, that would be a big deal on the scale of what this Hall of Fame game usually produces. So I'm interested in defense and if Haskins can carve them up.
Mm. All right, football back on Fox tonight. Can't wait to sit down and watch that. Ooh, Steelers that. And Cowboys. Switch gears, talk some 49ers
Jimmy
now.
G.
Jimmy G has Trey Lance looking over his shoulders. Which quarterback would lead San Fran to the playoffs?
On the Cowboys.
So still ahead. First things first.
I may go all in on the Cowboys, guys.
Tonight on Fox, the NFL is back as the Steelers battle the Cowboys. It's the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, baby.
Coverage begins 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Cowboys, sleeper
Sign
team.
Sign up for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Speaking of super teams, talking Ram LeBron James and yet another new look Lakers team. Look, the main critique after they retooled that roster, it's age. LeBron will call it veteran leadership, whatever you want to call it. The Lakers could have 8 guys on the opening night roster, 32 or older, prompting this since-deleted tweet from LeBron last night. He wrote, then deleted, "Keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way he plays, he stays injured, we're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please, and I mean please. Keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you." Nick, what do you make of this from LeBron?
Yeah, what I make of it is that he's asking what I'm asking for. The narrative energy stay the same. Because what I don't want to have happen is what has happened with quite literally almost every championship LeBron's won, except for, I guess, 2014, his second title. No, 2013, pardon me, his second title with the Heat, which is, folks, doubt, 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 flaw, 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 flaw. Then they win the title. It's like, oh, of course they won the title. They were always going to win the title. What are we talking about? Our dear friend, who you can see on Undisputed here in about 10 minutes, Chris Broussard. All year long, 2 seasons ago. Clippers, 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 Clippers. Blazers could give them trouble. Rockets could give them trouble. Clippers are the team. Then the Lakers win the title, and Broussard comes on this show, and all the shows like, well, LeBron's never won that super team. That's a super team. They're a super team. Of course, a super team. No, it's true. It's true. 2016, Brandon. LeBron's never going to win another title. LeBron's never going to win a title with the Cavs. And then they come back from 3-1 down, and the narrative is, actually, you know what? That Warriors team, not that good. 73 wins, 73 wins. Steph Curry, unanimous, bananas. Who cares? They had to have Durant. They're not even that good of a team. That's how it is. Well, that's how the narratives have gone. So this year, Brandon, they're too old. They don't have enough shooting. They don't fit well. So if they win the title, don't turn it into 5 Hall of Famers. LeBron, AD, Russ, Melo, Dwight, of course. No, it's an old, it's the geriatric team. So, I mean, they'll be lucky to get out of round one, which they couldn't do this year.
Come on, LeBron knows better than this. This is why he's the king. He knows that every year you have to earn it. Every year there's going to be a new narrative. You can write your own narrative or somebody else can control it. So LeBron going out and saying this, this is LeBron being LeBron. When you look at this, there's a lot of validity out there, LBJ. You gotta validate that. Come on, you go get Russell Westbrook, who a lot of us love. He has way more supporters than haters, right? So sometimes that noise can get loud and it's like, oh, sure, man, why is everybody against Russell Westbrook? No, this dude's a monster. We all know that. But when you are ball dominant and he's ball dominant, we tried to take the ball out of his hands in Houston and that didn't work out. We saw what happened there. And then you give him back the ball in D.C. and he averaged a triple-double again. Then what's the solution here? What are you guys going to do? AD is still a big question mark around AD, his health and also his play. Let's not get it twisted. Last year, Wilds, when he was healthy and he was on that court, we didn't see a good AD. So that's still a question mark just around the big three. But now you go out there and you're adding Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza was, I love Trevor Ariza. I ran into him all the time in South Florida. I run into him maybe this weekend in South Florida. But Trevor Ariza won the championship with the Lakers in 2009, right? I love him. But come on now. And then you go get Dwight Howard again. I felt like you should never let him go, but is he really going to be a big difference for you? And then you solidify some shooting with Carmelo Anthony. I'm a big Carmelo Anthony fan. You got Nunn. You got Bazemore. You have, who else you got? You got Tucker, right? You have Wellington, Wayne, right? So these guys out Wayne there, they Ellington. Can shoot, but can they play defense? Wayne Ellington, there you go. So you got these guys out there, but now you're turning yourself into a liability on the defensive side. So I still think there's a lot of question marks surrounding this team, and LeBron James have to validate what everybody's saying.
Okay. A lot of question marks.
LeBron James is not talking to Lakers haters. LeBron James is talking to himself. LeBron's trying to motivate himself. He posted this and then he deleted it, which is odd on itself. Like, oh, I just posted. I'm like, ooh, I didn't love that one. Delete 50 million followers. Phew. Ooh, dodged a bullet there. No one's going to notice that one. So here's the thing. Michael Jordan had his imagination. Tom Brady had Hall of Famer Julian Edelman. And LeBron James has social media. Michael Jordan just make up enemies out of whole cloth. Just be like, what'd you say to me? Like, nothing. I'm going to light you up. I'm not even playing. Michael Jordan make it up. Tom Brady would literally have Hall of Famer Julian Edelman get up into his face and yell, you're too old, propel him to Super Bowls. LeBron James literally invented Wash King. He's like, yup, after he had another triple-double in November of 2019. Like, oh, Wash King, here I am. So now he wants us to say, oh, it's the Washed Kingdom. And that's going to motivate him. And Nick's like, Wilds, say Washed Kingdom on air. I'm like, Nick, that is proprietary to me. If anyone uses Washed Kingdoms, I've got to call the patent office right now. You can have Washed King. Washed Kingdom is mine. But that's LeBron's motivation. But I'm going to get paid off of it.
Washed
I got the royalties.
Kingdom. That's what it is,
Washed
Wilds.
Kingdom.
I like
that's
it
brilliant. For the T-shirts.
Yeah. I'm a...
Yeah, well,
LeBron
thank you.
Couldn't get the Taco Tuesday trademark.
Already trademarked
it. Kingdom. I'm going to send it to him now.
It's for sale.
That's amazing.
You got to go. Undisputed, right?